because if they burn to the sand, that's fine. But be careful about putting them too close to the air. In today's gospel, you notice the demons say to Christ, what have you to do with us, okay, Son of David? The term for the Messiah. The demons recognize Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God. So you say, do they believe in Christ? Of course they do. And that becomes sometimes our problem as Orthodox Christians. If we say, well, what does it mean to be an Orthodox Christian? And so many times people say, well, to believe in Christ and in the Orthodox Church. Well, we look at that scripture passage and we see even the demons believe. It is to believe and then put into practice that belief. To put it into practice. People can say to us, why should such a small parish as ours go out and do these things that we do, like go to the fair and witness 12 days and all of the money and the time that takes? Why should we raise all this money to send people to Africa? Because we have to put into practice what we claim to believe. This, the Divine Liturgy, is not the end. It is the beginning of what we do. The church, the parish, is here not as an end, not a place where you come to receive like sacramental supermarket, you know? We go bowling on Wednesday, grocery shopping on Friday, and then we come to church on Sunday, and none of them are related to each other. But they are. Their life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the grace of God that we receive here at the church, and then we go out and we put it into practice. And so as the parish, we have put into practice to go to Africa to assist our most needy brothers and sisters. And I will tell you, they are most needy. I was thinking as we drove around, the roads are unbelievable. I told Carlene, I said, you know, I rode in my Jeep all over South Vietnam. I never saw roads as bad as this. They were the worst I've ever seen. Ruts and everything. And you drive down a road and there may be way in front of you a motor vehicle and way in back. But lining the road are people walking. Where's Carl? Did you see any fat Ugandans?
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. They're the thinnest people I've ever seen because they walk. There is no other transportation. In northern Uganda, where we were, is the poorest of the poor. They've been decimated by war, by an insurrection for 20 years. That is a combination of both a rebellion and some religious fanatics, I guess, best sums it up. It gets a little complicated. You can go on the internet and read it. They were called the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA. And for 20 years, they were a plague on the people. Father George, one of our indigenous, we have all indigenous clergy there. Okay, unlike the Western Church, the first thing we try to do is create clergy that are from the people. And Father George was telling us how when the LRA was there, they at 7 o'clock, but no later than 7 at night, you'd leave your house and go deep into the bush. And you would find some bush, some tree to sleep under for the night. And only when the dawn came would you go back to your house. Because if they caught you, they would kill you or extort money or impress you into the army. And that Father George was captured by them, and he was impressed into their army at the age of 12. And he said his job was to carry the rifle of the leader. And he said it took 3 months before he was able to escape. And then he lived on the run for a number of years until he could get to an area that was not under the control of the LRA. So not only are they poor, but they suffered all of this great persecution from being there. And so we went and we had a setback in the makeup of the team. We had one less doctor than we had anticipated. So we went with one doctor, two doctors, one here, one local that is part of our hospital. We have an Orthodox hospital in Kampala. And then a nurse practitioner. And then Carlene and two other RNs and two young ladies that are in the medical field. And yours truly, like Father Mulcahy. And we drove north from Entebbe Airport about 250 to 300 miles. and ministered to people in the most remote villages. On the Sunday we were there, we had liturgy in a church that was made of mud bricks, covered with mud and with a thatched roof. And it was a joyous liturgy. And the people, I couldn't believe how many people we had in this place. It was probably, it's about, right about like this. And I was giving out the antedorian, and I was thinking, oh, come on now, they're going out this side opening here and coming back around. How did we get so many in here? They were like piled on top of each other, and they were the Orthodox ones. So there is a big Orthodox presence. The poverty and the disease is rampant. Malaria is a scourge. We had to send one baby to the hospital in our van because she was comatose. We had, Carlene saw, what, leprosy?
Leprosy.
A number of people would come to us with things we could not treat. One had a broken jaw, another had several of them with hernias, okay? I would tell you our sister Carlene was well thought of there. She was a rock star. Her job was to handle those who we couldn't treat, as well as those sometimes who were not as bad as the others, but you had to do it in a kind and loving way and still try to give them some palliative relief. In the course of the time we were there, we treated 3,500 people. The most was on the first day, we treated 700 people in one day. The pharmacy continued to distribute their drugs till 8:30 at night using a kerosene lamp that we got from one of the villagers. But the people were most receptive to this and most loving. I cannot tell you how good it was. But I would tell you a part, and I'll leave more of that to Carlene, is the priests had tears in their eyes because of your generosity. Father George said to me, and all the time the people came, you know, the teams, this is the first time people ministered directly to the priest. If I ever complain about anything again, I want you to say simply to me, Gulu. That's the area we were in. Okay? Their part of the vineyard is very rocky. They are paid a pittance. And Father George takes from that small amount of money, which he has to support his wife and his three kids, and he uses some of that money in his parish. When we left, I took $4,000. A benefactor gave $2,000, and we took $2,000 more from what we had raised in anticipation we might have to buy more medicines. Fortunately, we did not, so I will tell you where some of the money from the parish went. They have been saving for years trying to open what would amount to a preschool? In this remote village. And they would, their hope was to hire a teacher and get the materials like chalk and some papers and things for the kids to write on and to be able to give them a bowl of porridge every day. The cost of doing this, to start it and to keep it going for about 4 to 5 months, would be $600. And they've been saving for years for this. The team got together and we made the donation. We, from the parish, put $600, the whole amount, and we raised $400 more and we gave $1,000. To them, that is a sum beyond their belief. And they said they would be able to run the school for over 1 year on $1,000 and to be able to take 200 or so to 250 kids. This is part of what we did. I brought to them a set of vestments that a Greek Catholic priest gave to me to bring, as well as that gold set that I wore before I left. Every priest there has only one set of vestments. That's all they have. The holy table that we used for the consecration was the same metal table that we had mixed the drugs on in the pharmacy the day before. And I thought, how fitting. Huh? The day before, we make medicine for the body, and the next day we use the same table to make medicine for the soul. But they are happy people, very joyful. They insisted on dancing for us. And we try to be self-sufficient. We bring our own water, but the one thing we cannot do is we cannot bring lunch because they insist on feeding you. They must serve the meal. And so we had served the same kind of thing, whatever it was, every day. But it was a great joy to be with them. But the priest told me, especially Father George, that to tell you how much it meant for them. I brought them some books that for years they had been trying to get, service type books. And I brought enough so that each priest there. I tell you, I gave $100 to the deacon. He said, what was that for? He walks to the church about 3.5 miles every day. 3.5 miles there, and he walks home. 3.5 miles. Okay? $100 would get him a brand new bicycle. Okay? So he's got a bicycle. Now he can bicycle 3.5 miles to the church and 3.5 miles back. This is the existence that they live. Okay? It's very subsistence. But they're good and holy people. They really are. They love Americans. They have no prejudice against white people. You drive along and you arrive at the village and there are all the little kids are screaming, Bazunga! It means white people. Okay? Here come the white people. We were in Lira and we were holding a clinic in what had been the LRA headquarters. I again thought that was fitting. Okay? So we're holding the clinic and I'm sitting under a tree with the triage nurse. I thought that was fitting. We're doing triage under the tree. And I feel something soft on my hand. And I looked down and there was a little tiny black hand and it was rubbing my hand and it was a little 3-year-old. And I knew what she was doing. So I went like this and went, in other words, it doesn't come off. Okay? So I started walking. I had to take my job was to take the mothers 4 at a time to the doctors, okay, so we could keep order. And the next thing I know, she's holding my hand and all day long we're walking around. Okay? And she was a very bright kid because the priest told me, he said, Father, she's a special child. She could talk before she could walk. And he had said to the 3-year-old, look, there's a white man. And she said, oh, I'm going to go look at him. Okay? So that was her big thing, was to see a white person for the first time in her life up close. And to them, that's their belief in white people, in the Americans especially, is that they come with strong medicine. That's their relationship. So it was all worth it. And this is, you were doing this as well as us. All we were the conduits. I mean, somebody has to go, somebody stays, somebody prays for us, somebody contributes the money, and some of us go. Okay? We look forward to when our sister goes to Tanzania. How you doing? You got all the stuff ready yet? I got a big bag for you. I want you to know this. Some important things to have when you go to Africa. Things that I brought back for you, okay? A can of insect spray for flying insects at night in the room, okay? Some bug spray over you at night. It's kind of a lighter dosage so they don't, okay? Things like that. I don't want you to think, though, that when we send the missionaries to Africa that it is we're just funding somebody's vacation. I don't tell you this to try to make it sound as though it was bad, but it is not vacation, okay? When we came back, I said to Carlene, welcome to the land of warm showers and cold drinks. In Uganda, it's the opposite. Cold showers and warm drinks. The drinking water we had in bottles was always 85 degrees, whatever it was out. But it is all worth it. The priest couldn't believe that. How small the parish was. They thought I was the pastor of some giant parish. Okay? And when I told them it was 35, they couldn't believe it. Those are some of the things. And the last thing I wanted to tell you is where another $100 went. When we were again at that, it's called the sub-parish. It's big, but they haven't named it yet. So we were at the sub-parish, and a man came to us, and they had the baby, and the doctors examined the baby. And the mother had died that morning. The baby was 4 months old. And Father George said, we may lose the baby also because now there's no milk. Milk is a dollar, what would amount to an American, let me do this for you, 1,000, like 50 cents a day. 50 cents a day is beyond their means. They cannot do that. So I gave him $100. And he said, the baby will live. He said, Father, they water the milk after they get it so that it stretches out to feed the baby for a day. And that'll take her to the time she can eat solid food. So with your $100, the baby lives. So those are some of the things. Now, it wasn't all this dramatic. A lot of it was some funny things, some crazy things. Our van broke down. St. Pantaleon to the rescue. We're in the middle of nowhere, no cell phones. Now, cell phones are very ubiquitous there. They're all over the place. We had no service in this area. And where we were staying, just as it's starting to get dark, along comes the guy who takes care of this place with his little Toyota pickup truck. And so we piled 8 people in the back of the pickup truck, or 9 people, a little tiny Toyota pickup truck, and 2 of us, the guy and his wife, inside the truck, and drove everybody to where we were. So then from Kapala, they sent a mechanic with another van. He pulled a transmission in the middle of the road, and we all got in the van with the transmission and came back to Kampala. So there was some adventure involved. But again, I ask you then, as your spiritual father and your pastor, to please examine in your heart to see if God is not calling you to go to a mission. It doesn't have to be Africa. We have many other places. We have Romania, Albania, Alaska, and so on, where we have much to do. We had several young ladies your age, okay? We told them all about you, okay? And so they're excited because they're coming back next year, okay, God willing. And they look forward to having you go, because you know our heart is set on sending our daughter Tatiana to Uganda next year, okay? So that's what we did, and that's how we spent your money. I hope you approve of it. Carlene, if you would, to give some words of your experience.
Father says I can have 5 minutes, which is a real penance for a teacher. Like he said, we saw 3,500 people over 9 clinics. So it was 7 clinics after we came. The couple of people on the team were there a week ahead buying medicines, and they went to a couple of clinics. A couple of things I want to mention. And I think this is kind of will be for Jean's benefit, and do I envy you? Okay. For those of you that have traveled outside the United States, particularly if you've traveled where there are people whose culture is just totally different than your lifestyle, what you're used to, the food is different, you don't understand the language, it's just all so, so different. Usually, it takes you weeks, sometimes months, before you feel some kind of a connection because it's just so different. It isn't that way, and I'll tell you why it isn't that way. Unfortunately, our travel arrangements were not the best because we went on a Saturday, and therefore when we got there, we missed Sunday, and so we missed liturgy. So we really didn't have liturgy with the people until the midpoint. And so here we were with people who were friendly and loving, but everything was totally different. It was really hard to relate our experience with their experience until liturgy. And you go into liturgy and hear all these people making the sign of the cross, singing the liturgical music, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, they're Orthodox. You know, and this commonality is so overpowering that it makes the differences just melt away. And if you can travel there, and so that as soon as you get there, like if you travel on a Friday, I don't know what your itinerary is, but if you can be there for a Sunday almost as soon as you get there, those big differences just really melt away because they're Orthodox. And you realize, gee, you know, we have all of this in common. And that was something I thought of on the plane coming back. I'm thinking deep thoughts, you know, about my experience. And, it just hit me, you know. That was so helpful. And I wish it had been in the beginning. The people, the Africans are just wonderful. You just can't believe how friendly they are. You walk on the street, and people will say, hello, good morning, how are you? And you have to stop and say, hello, I'm fine, how are you? You know, if we did that in this country, people would look at us like, you're invading my space, or, you know, what do they want from me? They are that friendly. They're just absolutely loving, loving people. It was arduous. I have to be honest. It was perhaps that medical mission in Uganda is probably the most arduous mission that OCMC sponsors, except for the construction missions. Our physician, Cheryl Johnson, had gone 3 years ago to India on a teaching mission, and they told her, oh, this is going to be very arduous. And she said, all it was hot. She said, this is arduous. But I am so glad I went. I'm so glad. And I want to personally thank all of you very much, not only for your prayers, but your financial sacrifice of sending us there. I think we did good in more ways than one. I also want to thank very much the singers, in particular Tandova and Andrea, for humbling me and making me realize that I'm not indispensable in taking care of the music. I really appreciate all your work. We took lots and lots of pictures, and I hope by next Sunday that we'll have lots of pictures to show and can talk more individually about our experience. But I am hoping and praying that you will go, because I have said so many things about you, only the nice things. The young ladies, there were two age groups. There were these three young girls in their early 20s. One of them was a registered nurse. Her father is an Albanian priest. Another young girl who is a physical therapist, her father is a Greek priest. She has 9 siblings. And the other young girl, her father's not a priest, but she's just a graduate student. So you had these three young, very bright, very energetic, and then you had the doctor and the nurse practitioner and the other RN, who probably were in their 50s, and then you had grandmother here. Okay. Everybody contributed something. I didn't have as much high energy as the young ones, but I had experience and they had. So we all brought something to the team. And I have to tell you, you really need to be proud of your priest. I think this is the first time a priest has ever gone on a mission. He was an expert pill roller, pill counter, and to be honest, he practiced a little medicine without a license. I think the big thing that he really contributed was the moral support to the local priests, and also a lot of your donations went, as he said, to good causes. And I have a sneaking feeling that some of his own personal, with a lot of personal giving too. But I hope they will always send at least one priest, if someone will volunteer, because it was a real help. We had prayers in the morning. We had prayers in the evening. I know he did some counseling of some of the team members who really needed it. So, it was a good thing that he came. And he kept me from being lost and helped me out too. But thank you again all very much. And let's support her in going next year. And if we can be at all possible to continue doing this kind of thing. Thank you.
We will end with a funny story. When we had the 700 people, the lady doctor from here said, "Now listen, we're not going to get through all these without your help." So she told Father George and I, "You're going to take all these high school kids, and you're going to ask them if they have ask them what's wrong. If they say it's this, this, or this, give them this drug. If they say this, this, or this, give them that. If they say anything else, send them in to see me." So we're out there. And one of the kids, and they're like kids anywhere else. I don't care who they are or whatever. I think some were trying to skip school. So one of them comes up, and he says to Father George, because they can speak English, okay? He says, he had a rash. So Father George says, "Lift up your shirt." Father George looks, he goes, "It doesn't look that bad. Go back to class." He said, "Oh, Father, that wasn't on the list." So supposed to, yeah, what we were supposed to do. But we were there, so we were practicing medicine without a license. And Father George is a wonderful person. So what I thought we would do is, next week is the parish picnic for the 4th of July, and Carlene and I will get some pictures printed, we'll bring the pictures, but also we brought back a small gift to you of some beads. Many of them support themselves by making these necklaces that are from beads that are made with recycled paper. Strips of a magazine, wrap it real tight, they paint it a different color, put a little coating on it, and they make necklaces. So Carlene and I brought back enough for each of you to show the appreciation of the parish for all of your sacrifices that allowed us. Finally, my hope is that every year we're going to send at least one missionary somewhere in the world. We are a mission church. The church, the Orthodox Church, was founded as a mission church. That's the Christian church, okay? What was the great command? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. So as a parish, we have got to do that. As long as they'll have us, we're going to continue to go to the fair. And my hope is that every year we're going to send one person, at least one person, to the missions, to the foreign missions. And then our next project will be to find some missionary activity here at home. As the parish, we're not to be concerned with growing it. It'll grow by itself. God will send the rain. But it's to lead that Orthodox life I talked about when we first started. Not just to say we believe in Christ, we believe in Orthodoxy, but rather that we practice Orthodoxy. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Okay, I'll get the cross and... servers will get the Antidorian.